we spoke about how the Apostle Paul used 2 Corinthians 4:6, where he said, God spoke, but God commanded light out of darkness. God commanded light out of darkness. And he was even speaking of our spiritual nature, where we once walked in darkness. We once walked according to the course of this world. And God would use us as vessels to shine in darkness. And that was also related, of course, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when God created the heaven and earth. And he said that this was without form and void. Remember that last week? Without form and void. And you think about that. So the earth was in that condition. We are void. It means we're empty. And how Pastor Desir put it, we're hungry. And we don't know what we're hungry for. We don't know what we're hungry for. And even in Ephesians 5:8, he says, we're void of truth. We're void of truth. And Romans 4:14, we're void without faith. We become empty without faith. These things make us void and empty. You know, we think about that, and how do we overcome things then in our life when a lot of times we search and we're never filled? We search for different areas in our life, or we search in the wrong areas, and we're never satisfied. We're never satisfied with anything, even in sometimes what God does in our life, we're not satisfied with it. We complain in it. We're not satisfied. We search for more. We look for different areas and different things. And you know, we have promises. And Isaiah 55:11 is an amazing promise. It says that God will accomplish all that he's going to accomplish. And he will send his word. And that word will not return void. God's word will never return void, and it will accomplish all that God has for it in that moment and in that time. He sends his word, and it fills these areas of avoidance, because avoidance leads to darkness. I was thinking about the calling of Gideon in Judges chapter 6. And it's an amazing... It's an amazing calling, because the children of Israel at this time were under major oppression. They lived in darkness. They were oppressed. Every day was oppression and darkness. They were controlled by the Midianites at that time. And the Bible says that an angel of the Lord came to Gideon and said, God has found favor in you, thou mighty man of valor. And it's amazing, because Gideon didn't see himself this way. He seen himself as the least of the least and in the lowest of lowest. And he lived in oppression. He knew nothing but oppression. He knew nothing but the stress and the difficulty that darkness put upon his life and upon his family's life. And God is saying that you are a mighty warrior. It's amazing how God sees us and how we see ourselves. We see ourselves in a different way of what God sees. Because God sees us only in Christ, and we see ourselves in our oppression. And because we see ourselves in oppression, we live in that oppression. And we associate with that oppression. And what a person thinks over periods of time, if you keep thinking on negative thoughts, guess what's going to come out? Negativity. A constant barrage of negative. And you might not even know you're doing it, but it's been embedded in you. It's what you're receiving. You keep receiving it and receiving it. You're living in it. It's dark. It's oppressed. And you start confessing it. And, you know, every thought that comes into your mind, you think upon. And then that thought that you think upon turns into action. And those actions then become your lifestyle. And that lifestyle becomes a habit. And habits need to be broken. And it can only be broken when God sends that word. And it will not return void. And it means that we constantly need to be in the presence of God. We need to be in His presence constantly, feeding on His word and not feeding on things that we feel that are going to satisfy us. And the world is very tricky in these areas because it presents a lot to us. It lays it out for us. And we got to say, no, I am not going to feed upon that. No, I'm not going to dwell upon that. But this distress that Gideon was in, and it's something how a lot of us, even as Christians, we go by what we see, but sight will lead us to darkness. That's why we never walk by sight. We only walk by faith. We don't walk according to our circumstances or according to our oppressions. God is going to train Gideon in an amazing, as in warfare, because this is what this was about in Judges. It's all about spiritual warfare. But he had to do something with the way he thought. That's something. God is interested in the way we think and how we all have an opinion, and we all share that opinion, but that's not from God a lot of times. And I'm going to give you a little bit of story. So we see the five loaves and the two fish, and it's very easy for us to calculate it in our mind, 5,000. That doesn't go into that. So we come up with excuses why it can't happen. And the only thing is we eliminate God from the entire equation. God is not in it. So these 5 and 2 cannot possibly feed this. This is impossible. And Jesus says, go ahead, give it to them. And they had to come to the point where we're saying, we can't. Right. But I can. But sometimes we eliminate God from all of that. We try to do it in our flesh. We try to do it in our own strength. I'm trying to figure out a way how I can feed 5,000 with what I have. But what we have is never enough. But this is how our mind thinks. It thinks of the impossible before it thinks of possible. It eliminates God from everything. Because of negative thoughts that have come into our minds that have been grown within us. And now they're part of our lifestyle. They're part of our conscious and our subconscious thinking. And this is what needs to be changed. And it can only be changed by the word of God and what we hear. So these negative thoughts come out in our... They come out in our communication. And we got to be careful on our communication. We got to be very careful what we communicate. Ecclesiastes 5:1-2, let your words be few. Boy, that's something. And in Proverbs 10, where words are many, sin is not far. To be able to control our words, to be able to think of what we say before they are blurted, to have a frame of reference in our thoughts and in our words. Careful, precise thinking leads to precise communication. Communicating. Turn this morning to Job chapter 38. Job 38. I'm just going to read the first verse, and then I'm going to explain what's happening here. It says, then the Lord, 38 verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of a whirlwind and said. So this is a whirlwind that God speaks to Job. This isn't like the wind that destroyed everything in chapter 1. Because that appeared also and destroyed everything they had. But this is like a whirlwind. This is like in 2 Kings chapter 2. This is the same thing that Elijah went up in a whirlwind. And it's amazing because it says the Lord answered here. And this whirlwind is really the manifestation of God himself. And you have to understand this book first, because all through the book, the word God is used, but it means Elohim. And it means the Almighty God. There is an Almighty God. But here it says the Lord, and it changes from the Almighty God to Yahweh. The personal invitation, the personal relationship. God is Almighty, and that's a name for him. But there's also Yahweh. And Yahweh becomes personal to us. And now God is going to become personal. And God said to Job, and this is amazing, because this through this entire book, up until now, God doesn't speak until only in the beginning. It's a conversation of Job and three of his friends. And they are playing God. They are speaking for God. They are counseling in for God's name. Or at least they think.
Yes.
And this is what's important about our words and what we think we know. And we must be on our knees before God today, folks. We must get before God. We must pray for leaders, for pastors, for teachers. We must pray for the anointing of God, that it comes out as from the Word of God, not an opinion of what you think this book says, because it can be very dangerous. It's playing, it's false interpretation of who God is. Because look at verse 2. Look what God, and this is the first thing God says. Through the whole book, he finally speaks. It's about God, but now he speaks. And he says, who is this that darkens counsel by words of knowledge? By words without knowledge, I'm sorry. Who is this that darkens counsel with words without knowledge? You are speaking, but there's no knowledge behind it. And it's not from me. It's not words. Remember Isaiah 18:1? He says, you counsel people, but it's not my counsel. You have a spirit, but it's not my spirit. What are we saying? What are we communicating to people? How are we investing in people's lives? How do we have words for people who are in oppression and darkness if we don't have God's words to speak to them? And it becomes sad, because this dialogue, I mean, it goes on and on and on. Job even said, he says, you need to stop telling his friend, you need to stop speaking to me, because your words are cutting my flesh. And you ever talk to people like that? They've got nothing to say. A lot of words are coming, but nothing is there. There's nothing that's filling the voids in my life and in my heart, which I need. I need to hear from God. I need to know what God has to say. And then he even tells Job in verse 4, he says, you know what? By the way, where were you when I formed it, when I laid the foundations of the earth? Where were you in that moment and in that time? In verse 3, it's pretty interesting too. He says, listen, gird up your loins now and be a man. I love that. It means, see, a lot of times we have loose ends. That's what the loins mean. And they used to gird them up and tie them up when they were running into battle. We don't want nothing laying upon the ground and loose and tripping over. And he goes, this is what you're like. And gird that up. Gird those up. 1 Peter 1:13 has a great verse. He says, gird up the loins of your thinking. Your mind, your thoughts are hanging. And they're useless. They're useless because they're not bringing life to people. We're more in about dividing or proving a point or trying to get my point across than giving words that people can live by. And in our counsel, in our knowledge, we could sound wise, but he uses the weak things of this world to confound the wise. The simple things. The pure things. So gird up your thoughts and your thinking and your mind. It says be sober-minded too. Think on things that are going to give life to people. So he says to them, he says, look at, he says, who is this that darkens the counsel? So this is darkness that they're bringing. They're not bringing words of grace. They're not bringing words of love or mercy. They're bringing condemnation. They're bringing guilt upon them. And they're words without knowledge. And this whole time, they're counseling. They're counseling. And they don't want, you know, what they're trying to get. They're trying to get a confession out of Job. Why are you like this? What did you do? Why is God's wrath upon you? That's the conclusion they came. That God is judging him. That he must have done something. And we want to know what it is. Why do we always want to know why? Why do we always want to know what it is? You know, we want to know what's going on in people's life. Why? Don't you have enough going on in your own? Don't you have enough issues and serious problems of yourself to know the problems and difficulties of others? Let God deal with them. Back up, get out of the way, and let God minister. Instead of knowing why, we need to know who. We need to know who. We need to know about God. Because once we learn to know more of who he is, then we might know the why. We have a lot of questions, and they're always why. Why am I doing this? Why am I going through this? Gideon did. You know, Gideon said, you know, he said two things to God when he asked those questions. So he says, you mighty men of valor. And Gideon comes up with two questions. Why are these things happening to us? It's the first question. You're being called by God, and instead of being in awe and saying, wow, God is in this place, you say, why is this happening to me? That was his question. That was his first. Why are these things happening? Number one, we always want to know why. We have to figure out the why. Before knowing the who, I need to know why first. Before I know that this is a calling upon my life, I need to know why I'm in oppression. Why am I in darkness? Why am I struggling? Why do I have setbacks? Why do I have medical problems? Why is my finances so bad? Why is my marriage? Why do we have conflict? All these whys. Get to know the who. The why might be revealed. And then the second question Gideon asked is, where are all the miracles? You did all miracles for my family. You brought them out of Egypt. You did these amazing miracles performed. Why aren't we seeing them now? You know, it's amazing how we ask these different questions. And all that comes from the subconscious mind. So we have a conscious mind and a subconscious mind. Both of them need to be washed and cleansed in God's word. But the subconscious thinking needs to be retaught. We need to be retaught in our thinking, because if it's not retaught, it remains dark. And these are dark areas of our lives. I mean, nobody knows a man's heart. But there's some, you know, there's some crazy things that we don't even want to uncover. This is why it's in our subconscious. We bury it so deep. It's when you've been hurt or wounded or scarred. And sometimes these scars are with us for life. And God can deal with them too. But he wants to retrain and have you rethink in the subconscious part of your thinking. To start thinking with God. If there's no teaching, if there's no word of God that's filling that void or that's feeding you, like Pastor Desir, if we're not being fed regularly, then the natural man is going to rise up over the spiritual thinking. Your natural man will start making all your decisions. Every decision you make. It even turns into carnal thinking. Carnal thought process. Carnal thinking. Carnal counsel. And God's saying, that's dark. It's not my counsel. It's darkened. And you might have to say a lot, but it's words that mean nothing. It's really incredible. These are darkened thoughts. Dark thinking. So the natural man will thrive in it. It becomes an imposter to truth. It takes over what is truth, and it becomes an imposter. The world sheds a light, and it's bright, and it's inviting. And it invites you also to come and eat. But it's a false light, right? 2 Corinthians 11:14, he says, don't be surprised. Satan himself is an angel of light. He can transform himself as an angel of light, Satan. We must know truth. We must know the word of God. It's an imposter. It's a false light. It's a lie. It brings lies with it. He transforms himself into an angel that represents God. It's a false Christ. It's an antichrist. False thinking. In thy light we see light. Psalm 38. In thy light we see light. So all this time, this counseling is going on, but God's not involved with it. In it, really, gets you to think of what's being said and how it's being counseled and how it's being programmed to him. We understand that there's a lot of darkness in the world. It's everywhere. And it's all around. And even in our own lives, we even proclaim it sometimes. We speak it. Because of misfortunes, because of tragedies, because of setbacks. Deep hurts and wounds allow us to confess things in this manner. But the thing that troubles us is we put this darkness on the same playing field as light. We put it on equal ground. We even give it the final rule. We bend to the side of darkness. We even give it like a supreme authority. Oh, this is too troubling. This is too tough. This is too difficult. This is too hard. You're exalting the darkness. The subconscious mind needs to be retaught, and to have the word of God just saturate you and wash you and cleanse you so our counsel becomes of God and not of ourselves even. And not of ourselves. Let me give you two more verses here. Turn in John chapter 8. You guys with me? So sometimes our spiritual mind becomes carnal or becomes natural. You can read about that. That's in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, chapter 2, and then into 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It talks about the carnal man, the carnal mind, the carnal thoughts, worldly thoughts, worldly thinking. We need more of God's thoughts, God thinking. So in John chapter 8, Jesus made it quite clear on this, because darkness is always so close, right? Darkness is so close. It's right there always. It's right next to us sometimes. This is why these thoughts come into my mind. Well, where did that come from? You know? It's so close. Remember Judas Iscariot. At the Last Supper, who sat next to Jesus so close? Judas. He was right there, right next to him, putting his hand in the same dish together. That's how close. This is why we have to guard our hearts, and we have to renew our minds. Guard your heart, renew your mind. A constant intake of food that's going to nourish us. So in John 8, and in verse 12, Jesus said that, "I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world." And then he says, "He that follows me shall not walk in darkness." How about that one? You know, a lot of people say, "Oh, Pastor, you don't understand. The Christian life is so hard. It's so difficult. It's so dark. It's too hard for me to do." And you know what? It's not that it's so hard and difficult. Well, it is. It's impossible. You can't walk it. You need Christ. You need Jesus Christ. We walk it only because of Him. So stop saying it's impossible. It's too hard and too difficult. It's impossible. We need Him. We need God in our life every moment of every day. We need the renewing of our mind. We need to be filled with God's Spirit. So I am the light of the world. I am, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. There's the light. And that light gives us life. Not temporal, but an eternal life. I am the light, and he who follows me. In John 12:46, Jesus says it again. I am the light of the world. He who abides in me shall not abide in darkness. So he who follows, and then he who abides. But he who abides in me shall not abide in darkness. Or he who believes in me. He who believes and he who follows. We are to believe and we are to follow. Just keep believing in God. Keep following God. Keep believing in Him. Believe He's going to speak to you. Believe we're going to have fellowship today. I am not going to be part of darkness. My mind is starting to be renewed. I'm getting rid of these negative thoughts and this negative feedback that controls my thinking. And I'm going to think with God today. I'm going to think with God. Just take one day. I'm going to think with God all day. I don't care what comes against me. I don't care the darkness that comes against me. I'm going to walk in the light as He is in the light. And I'm not going to have fellowship with darkness. I'm going to have fellowship with the light. I'm choosing this. I'm choosing this because I have a new thought process. I'm thinking differently. I'm now going to start thinking with God. I'm not going to think that way no more. That's the way I used to think. I'm going to put that away. And it's easy to think negative. It's easy to think. Just look at what's going on in the news. You'll see, you'll start speaking in tongues in negativity. You know? It'll be all over you. You know? So, but I mean, we need to have our minds renewed. One last verse here. One last verse. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5, and this puts this in perspective. Verse 8. And look at the renewed mind. Because this is a believer that has had his mind renewed, and we're thinking on things above. We're retraining our thinking. You know, thinking becomes very important. Without thinking, you don't even know who your identity is, like Pastor Keith said. You might decide to think you're a girl. As a man, what's up with that thinking? Where does that come from? It's not the identity. It's not what God created them to be. But it's because they have no words. They have nothing to feed upon. They haven't been taught. They haven't been renewed in their mind. They don't know who they are in Christ. So verse 8 says, sometimes you walked in darkness. There was a time that you walked in darkness. You know, and God took us out of that. And this is where he commanded light to shine in darkness. At one time, sometimes you walked in darkness, but now. And I love that. I love in the Bible when I say, I see, it says, but now. Because it applies to you. But now, it applies to the born-again believer, the Christian that has accepted Jesus, who is now saying, God, I need a Savior. I've got sin in my life. I need a Savior. I need to be washed. I need to be retaught and rethinking. But now you are light in the Lord. Now you are light in the Lord. Once you walked in darkness, once you walked that path, but now you're going to walk as light. From now on, you're going to start walking as light. And then it says, at the end it says, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. And this whole chapter talks about that. It talks about walk in love. That's another thing. This one says walk in light. There's another... a few more verses says, don't walk as being a fool. Some of you are walking foolishly. Don't be a fool no more. Don't walk as being a fool. Walk in light. Walk in love. Walk in light. Allow the word of God. And how do we do that? How do we walk in light? How do we walk in love? We just, the same way you're saved, we believe it by faith. I believe that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. If I fall, I get back up. If I fall into, I'm gonna confess my sin, and I'm gonna go on with God. I'm gonna recover quickly, recover quickly, recover quickly. Yeah. Do not allow a lot of time to become between you, your sin, and your recovery. Jesus Christ is right there for you. He's picking you up. Recover quickly. Walk in light. Walk by faith. Believe in Christ. Believe in Christ. Just believe in what God's doing. Walk in the light. Walk as children of light. You're in Christ. You're a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things are new. All things are new. Believe in God. Amen. Yes. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you give us words of counsel. You counsel us. You counsel us by your amazing love. Jesus Christ, our counselor, our provider, our strong tower. We don't have to live in darkness. My mind doesn't have to think in darkness. I don't have to sit in darkness. Because I have the light of light. Darkness, God commanded light to shine out of darkness. Lord, we just thank you for everybody here today. Those who aren't here, Lord, we just pray for them. We pray for the body of Christ. Encourage people in the word. Give them sound, godly counsel. Give them a hope. Let increase their faith. Words of life. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord. If there's somebody here that has never accepted Christ, you can come to the light. Jesus Christ paid for your sins, every one of them, past, present, future. He died on the cross for you, that you may have life and have it eternally. If somebody here that has never accepted Christ, just lift up your hand real quick, put it down. I want to pray for you. Receive Jesus. Receive Jesus today. Thank you, Father. And maybe you are, you've been having thoughts of darkness or even living in it and being overwhelmed by it or being oppressed by it. You too just can come to the light. Just follow him and believe in him. This is all. We believe and we follow. We believe and we follow. The world wants you to follow many things, but only Christ is going to lead you to light. Only Christ can give you eternal life. We follow him. We believe in him. We follow him. We walk by faith. We walk in truth. We walk in love. We walk in the finished work. We love you, Lord. Bless our wrap today. Bless our offering, Lord. Prepare ways for our upcoming trips to Haiti, Father. We thank you for the work of God in the midst of your people, Lord. And we are encouraged by what you are doing in the lives of your people. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Appreciate it. Who yelled?